Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today, we're visiting with Mr. Jeremy Courtney, the founder and CEO of Preemptive Love, a global organization providing relief, jobs, and community to end war. His newest book, Love Anyway, cast a bold vision for how we can heal all that's tearing us apart. Jeremy is a sought-after speaker and authority on peacemaking, conflict resolution, and the integration of activism, spirituality, and leadership. He lives with his family in Iraq. Mr. Courtney, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks. Appreciate you having me.
Well, I do as well, Jeremy, and thanks for your time and joining us from Iraq today. So first of all, for starters, tell us about Preemptive Love. How and why was this nonprofit founded?
Well, like you said, we're working to end war, and didn't just wake up one day and, you know, have that epiphany that was a thing that needed to happen. It really happened in the context of war itself. I moved to Iraq with my family in the middle of the Iraq war. And it was in that context of, you know, kind of thinking I was getting into one thing and moving into the country and starting to experience war itself and realizing it was another thing, realizing the limitations of what we were doing as a nation, as a global coalition, militarily, realizing all the blind spots and the things that we hadn't very well factored in and weren't considering that were fueling the conflict and that were making it worse. And it was in that war conflict environment that we met this one little girl whose family approached us and asked us for help. And in the process of trying to help that one little girl, ended up starting Preemptive Love to help the hundreds and thousands of kids that started coming our way after her. And so today, the work has grown across Iraq, Syria, into Mexico, Colombia, Venezuela, really just a global coalition now in some of the worst hit conflict zones and economic crises across the world, trying to see what we can do to, as you said, heal all that's tearing us apart and end war, stop the next war before it starts.
Absolutely phenomenal what's going on there, and thanks for this fine report. Now, in light of the recent protests in America due to the Floyd death, what lessons have you learned firsthand that you can share with others, on how each and every one of us can be peace advocates?
This is complicated, and it's certainly a difficult thing to just boil down into sound bites. I think in many ways, it depends on who I'm talking to right now. I mean, I don't know exactly who would be tuning in and listening to us in this moment, but it does bear saying who you are and how you're coming to the conflict, how you're showing up, what your history is, what your people's history is, or your geographic part in the whole conflict is. Well, that matters. And I don't, in conflict, when things are super amped up, when we're already kind of at each other's throats, pat answers, flat answers that aim to put everyone in the same exact box, those often don't play very well. And that's part of our challenge right now in a globalized media environment, in a social media environment, is giving tailored responses to certain people, certain sections of society, certain marginalized groups, is becoming increasingly difficult. And we're largely expected or graded in a way that you can't tailor your messaging to one group or another. It's difficult to talk to one side without the other side listening in and judging you for the way you framed up or the way you accepted the terms of the other side in question. So that's not a pithy answer for you as much, but I think pithy answers are actually part of our problem right now. And so I guess the pithy answer is this: we need to find ways to talk in private as much as possible. We need to find ways to not only carry out these debates in globalized and open source ways, but we desperately need to be back at the table face to face with each other, because the way I would talk to a black audience in the wake of George Floyd's death might be a little bit different than the way I would talk to a white audience in the wake of George Floyd's death. But doing that online and in social media and even via podcast can be very fraught or ineffective right now.
Certainly some good points made right there. Thanks so much for your input. Much appreciated. Now, tell us about your key current initiatives for 2020. Get into some of those highlights.
Well, the two big things that we're constantly working on and trying to do really boil down to our relief pillar and our jobs pillar. So relief for us is the emergency aid, emergency support that we get to people right as a conflict is setting off, right as a group like ISIS may be taking over a town, driving millions of people out on the run, or in a pandemic type environment where people are on the lockdown and are trapped in a refugee camp, perhaps, and can't get the food or the medicine they need. They need emergency help fast. And if we don't get it to them fast, then we run the risk of violence spreading throughout a community as they have to start resorting to unconventional ways for providing food for their family or seeking out money or seeking out support. So that relief bit is a big part of what we do. And the jobs bit, helping people get back on their feet, rebuild their communities, providing a kind of help that lasts, a help that kind of replenishes itself. So in those two big categories, there's two things that we're trying to do. One, we're trying to reinvent the way relief is delivered. I think some of the old standard ways are going to still be with us and still be a part of what we need. But we also need new ways. We need to figure out how to leverage unmanned aerial devices, drones, and maybe robotics or automated cars, automated driving vehicles. The pandemic has taught us, and groups like ISIS have taught us, and the Syrian civil war have taught us that there are just going to continue to be parts of our world and parts of our work that are borderline inaccessible if the only option is sending humans in to get ambushed, shot, killed, and perhaps become vectors of disease. So we're really working to reinvent the way relief is delivered, trying to drive and work with innovative companies and drone makers and things like that to figure out ways that we can reach some of the hardest reached people and the hardest reached places. On the jobs front, we've been really zeroed in on the fact that the refugee number and displaced people number is only going to keep climbing with climate change and conflict. We'll soon reach 100 million displaced people, and then we'll probably hit 150 million displaced people. And really, very few of the jobs programs out there, if you scan the nonprofit world or the NGO world for sure, but even if you go into the for-profit realm, there are very few, if any, initiatives that are asking the question, how can we provide jobs for 100 million refugees who are on the run for their lives? And so we're trying to revolutionize the way refugees work. And one of the ways we're doing that is through our mobile platform that allows refugees to actually earn money with nothing but a smartphone, so that as they get pushed out of home and live in a tent and maybe cross the Mediterranean on their way to some other country altogether, they have their job in their hand with them with a smartphone, and they can actually earn money on the run and cash out at various places along the way and keep providing food for their family, become less of a burden on the communities that they pass through and the communities that host them. And in the process, we believe that will play a significant role in reducing the spread of violence through people that are often seen as a threat, which is, I think, the wrong way to view refugees, but it's nonetheless a very pervasive way of viewing refugees. So we're aiming to curtail that.
Well, you're certainly making a difference in the world, and we can't thank you enough for what you're doing and attempting to do through your nonprofit today. We're joined by Jeremy Courtney, the founder and CEO of Preemptive Love, a global organization providing relief, jobs, and community to end war. His newest book is Love Anyway, Cast a Bold Vision for How We Can Heal All That's Tearing Us Apart. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, tell us, how can businesses in America and around the globe be agents for peace?
Well, I think this is not new, but it is important and it is urgent. And that is to recognize that if if all you're doing with your business, with your company, is still just trying to earn money, if you're still stuck in this kind of Friedman model of returning maximum shareholder return, like that model is done. That model is outmoded. It's dead, or it's on its last ventilator gasp for life. Businesses are expected now to do so much more than just maximize shareholder return. They're expected to find ways to give back to society, expected to find ways to help people, facilitate people bringing their quote-unquote full selves to the office. And frankly, most of our companies aren't really well suited for that. We're not good at helping conservative people and liberal people or progressive people be fully who they are in the same space. We clearly, as protests in the United States and the Black Lives Matter movement in particular have highlighted in recent weeks and months, we're clearly not doing it well yet when it comes to helping the Black community and all people of color, arguably, feel safe and included and as though they have a full equitable stakeholdership in what happens in their companies. So these things have to become more than window dressing. They have to become more than mere like recruiting mantras. They need to become more the warp and woof of everything that we do together in our supply chains, in our businesses, in the way that we produce, in the way that we manage, in the way we create incentive and rewards programs. And I think there's clearly a reckoning and a waking up to this right now. Those who get there faster are going to enjoy greater brand equity and I think better profitability and returns overall. And those who are slow to adapt are going to ultimately go the way of the dinosaur, I think.
Well, with all the turmoil going on in the world with COVID-19 and all the unrest in the U.S. with racism and the differences politically and everything going on, it's really good to see something positive going on in what you're attempting to accomplish in this conversation. Certainly is motivating, no doubt about that. Lastly, how does Preemptive Love Coalition help communities in Iraq and other countries be entrepreneurs and small business-minded? Let's wrap things up with that. I'd like to hear your input there.
Yeah, so the other part of our major jobs plank, on the one hand, we're building out our mobile platform so that we can bring on a number of refugee workers who are not really in any sense being entrepreneurial. They are working on a platform doing data processing and business process outsourcing kind of work. But the other side of the job plank is much more entrepreneurial and small business startup oriented. And so we work with small business owners and entrepreneurs all over the world, Iraq, Syria, Mexico, Venezuela, trying to help them get access to the capital and the coaching and the marketplaces that they need globally to stand up on their own two feet again, whether it be in the wake of just total economic destruction like we have in Venezuela right now. The worst refugee crisis in the world right now is Venezuela. It's not Syria. We hear the most about Syria, but Venezuela is destroyed and the economy is in total free fall and it's 25% funded compared to the Syrian refugee crisis. So a lot of economic rebuilding, complicated work to be done in Venezuela, in cities like Aleppo, Syria, or Mosul, Iraq, where the fight against groups like ISIS resulted in the destruction of the city itself, just city block after city block bombed to oblivion while we've been working on the front lines. Capital injections and small business startups help Noor on the corner open a sewing shop. They help Mohammed open a sandwich shop. They help Ahmed open a little internet cafe. And so through those hundreds and hundreds of businesses that we create every year with entrepreneurial friends across the world, we're helping bring communities back to life so that we're not just doing handouts. We're not just handing out food. We're not just handing out consumables so that we have to show up again next month. We're business partners helping entrepreneurs and communities stand on their own two feet so they ultimately don't need us anymore.
Certainly a motivating bit of information, and can't thank you enough for what you're doing and the impact you're having through Preemptive Love. And I'm sure listeners want to know how they can get further information to be in touch, as well as pick up your book, Love Anyway. Where can listeners tap into all that?
Yeah, Preemptive Love is our main handle on all the social media sites. It's our website, preemptivelove.org. You can Google Preemptive Love without the dash. My name is Jeremy Courtney. You can find me or Preemptive Love just through a quick Google search. Super active on Instagram, but certainly if you want to join us as a monthly donor or any other kind of donor, monthly donors really make our world go round so that we can rely on that income month after month to use it where needed most across the world. All that can be done at preemptivelove.org. The book can be found at preemptivelove.org or on Amazon as well.
That sounds easy enough. Again, folks, it is preemptivelove.org. Jeremy, all the best. Thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Again, we've been speaking with Jeremy Courtney, the founder and CEO of Preemptive Love, a global organization providing relief, jobs, and community to end war. His newest book, Love Anyway, casts a bold vision for how we can heal all that's tearing us apart. And for further information, visit preemptivelove.org. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7. Around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.